And Luke says, those are called the synoptic gospels. But John is on a different plane. And he writes from an aoptic perspective. And he writes a gospel that is unto the world. And if you've been attending Sunday school and have taken your Sunday school commentary, you will also note that around March or somewhere in there, you will be studying the book of John. So you know God has a way about reiterating and bringing back up and connecting it all together. We've taken from chapter 4 where Jesus made an imperative to come to Samaria, to go into this place where other Jews would walk around and go miles around and not to become polluted. But he said to them, I must need go through Samaria. And it's there that he encounters this woman who comes to draw water at an unusual time. She's there at the midday point, and which women would gather early in the morning to draw water. It indicated, too, that she was a social outcast. Help me, somebody. For she was there alone. But Jesus encountered this woman and brought her to the very point of faith. Finally, on our last message to you, we saw Jesus' revelation to this woman that he indeed is the Christ. He indeed is the Messiah. He indeed is the one that she and the others had been looking for. He says, I am he. He lets her know who he is. He gives her a self-disclosure that he is the Messiah. And so this morning we continue on in this vein that as we see Jesus' encounter has made a difference in the life of this woman. We see in her that God has extended his grace and has extended his love, not only to the Jew, but also to the Gentile. We talked about that this morning in our Sunday school lesson. Aren't you glad that God did not exclude you, but God has included you? And so even in this point this morning, we find that the first thing that this woman did after she has encountered Jesus was to go tell her story. We saw that in chapter 1 that when Andrew encountered Jesus, the first thing he did was go tell his brother Simon. And that ought to be the habit, and that ought to be the pattern of every believer. When we know Jesus for ourselves, we ought to not be able to keep it to ourselves.
Come on, brother.
We ought to tell
somebody.
You know, if you do have some good news, you do want to share that good news. You know, if there's a baby born in the family, you want to tell somebody about that baby. You know, if there's a wedding, you want to tell somebody that my child is getting married. Oh, yes, it is a natural proclivity to tell good news. And so this is what, in fact, indeed, the woman did. It's another thing about it. Jesus had encountered a woman in the public. And it was prohibited for any rabbi or for any man for that instance to be in the public talking to a woman. He broke those barriers. And we've already strove to show you what extent that God's love will go to. No matter where you are, no matter what your circumstances, no matter if you are a social outcast where others don't receive you, to the low class and to the no class, Jesus cares. This ought to be the message that we take out from here today, and this ought to be the message that we take away from our one-on-one evangelism class, that God is a caring God. God is a loving God. And you can't get too low to where he can't reach you.
Oh, no.
His love,
love
conquers all. And so in verse 27, I want you to note something. First, notice the reaction of the disciples. Because the text opens with, at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman. First of all, it was a surprising reaction. They were surprised. They were shocked. They were full of awe. They were awestruck. They were amazed that Jesus was talking to a woman. And again, I said that they saw that the rabbi would not speak to a woman in public. Well, they have all of this, and yet Jesus is breaking the barriers.
Yeah.
Here they see it, that he talked to her. But notice in the text it says, at this point. And I wondered, and I had to look back, because in context I had to look at the previous scripture. I had to go back to verse 26 and see what point it was. At the point that he told her who he was, the disciples showed up at that time. I wish I had a witness.
Come on, Reverend. Come on now.
They were there to hear Jesus say, I that speak to you am he. They were there to hear his revelation to her at that particular time. They heard Jesus speak to her. Now this is exciting, because he had heretofore had told nobody else. Y'all not tracking with me. He hadn't told any. He hadn't disclosed himself to nobody else, but to a Samaritan woman, to a half-breed, an outcast, the one who had been looked down on and ostracized. Here he shares with her. Not even his disciples had that inside information. He makes a disclosure to her. They were shocked. They were surprised. They were amazed. They were awestruck at him. Look at what they were looking at. He talking to a woman. They don't know how he had worked to get her to the point of salvation. And I want to make a point here. We need to be careful how we judge folk. We need to be careful how we condemn people. Help me, somebody. And I know that we find ourselves, Brother Kenny, in some places that where people would not, others would not go. The Christian believer finds himself going in some places and talking to some people where others will not talk to. And you know, sometimes we can become so sanctimonious,
watch out. Watch it.
So heavenly minded, that we are no earthly good. And we can become so self-righteous. But let me tell you this morning, the same grace that it took to save that Samaritan woman, it's the same grace that it takes for you and me. Oh, brothers and sisters, we are all sinners.
That's right.
Born in sin, shaping in iniquity. We have inherited sin from Adam. And so they this woman was there, and all they could see was he was talking to a woman. Jesus breaks the barriers of race and religion. Help me, somebody.
Go ahead.
I told you that religion is man's way to God. But God looks for a relationship. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Have I got a witness?
Go ahead now.
Not only was there a surprise reaction, but then there was a silent reaction. It hushed them up.
Couldn't believe it, Brad. Couldn't believe it.
And I tried to figure this thing out, because only John here is the writer and records this, that even in what they wanted to say, they couldn't say it. They were silent. They uttered no word. They uttered no word. They wanted to.
Yeah.
Because even John brings the point out that someone even thought to think, what do you see?
Yes, sir.
And why are you talking with her? But the text says here that they wanted to, but nobody said anything. Nobody uttered a word. They thought about saying it. You know, there are sometimes when God knows how to keep us silent. Have I got a witness? But because sometimes the more we say sometimes, the more we mess things up.
Mess it all up. Go ahead.
Somebody said it this morning that we need to be quick. James, didn't he? James said we need to be what? Quick to hear and slow to speak. Amen. And so here they didn't say anything. But I want you to notice, secondly, the response of the woman. Because when I look at verse 28, this happens after she's encountered Jesus.
Okay.
And after he has gotten her to the very point of salvation.
Well.
That there is a response. And do you not know that when a person comes to the point of salvation and faith in Christ, we need to see a response.
Yeah. All right.
There need to be a response.
All right. All right.
Notice here what happened to this woman. She left her water pot. Help me, somebody. We know she came there to get drinking water, but instead she received living water. She came for that which was natural, but she got that which was spiritual. Help me, somebody. She came and received that which she really needed. You remember when we preached a few weeks back that he offered her water, and he says that this water here, you're gonna come back and ask for this again. But the water I will give, you will thirst no more. Oh, I would say that her response enthusiastic. I would say that her response was an exciting response.
Yeah.
No doubt that joy had come. And you know, when you're saved and you know you're sure for heaven and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, joy ought to come. I wish I had a witness.
Go ahead, Reverend.
The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of our salvation is found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But not only that, her response was an encouraging response, because the first thing she did naturally, she said to the men, come see a man. I wish I had a witness. You know, she didn't wait a long, long time. Can't you see this woman in your mind running back a half a mile or a mile or so from the well? She's running to the village.
Yeah.
She's running to the city. She's running to the town. And she's telling the men. I had to look at that too.
Yeah.
Help me, somebody. That she's taking her testimony back to the men.
Right.
And calling the men out in the city.
Yeah.
And I wondered, as I pondered over the text, were these those same five husbands?
Uh-oh. Watch out, everybody. Watch it.
I wish I had a witness.
Hold on.
Were these those five that she had, and Jesus says, the one you with is not your home. Oh, brothers and sisters, you know, when Christ changes our heart and forgives us of our sins,
yeah,
we ought to share the good news. It does not matter. We can go back. I wish I had a witness with those in from our past and say, come see a man.
Yeah.
Come see a man.
Uh-huh.
That told me everything that I ever did.
Yeah.
Oh, brothers and sisters, let me tell you this, that it was a imperative response. Because she understood the urgency of now. come is also the invitational response. Come. You got to come for yourself. And come also suggests to us that it is immediate.
Right now.
You need to come right now. Oh, the scripture tells us, the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart. You need to come while the blood is still running warm in your vein. Don't wait, but come now. Don't put it off, but come now. Oh, brothers and sisters, the world is shocked by the sudden death of Whitney Houston. Whitney was preparing for her appearance in the Grammys award set for tonight. But death came. Oh, I wish I had a witness. That's why you got to be able to see the urgency of now. You can't put it off till tomorrow. You don't know Jesus. You need to know him. You need to know him now. And then we see the importance of her story, because it means heaven or hell. We need to ask people, do you really know where you're going to spend eternity? Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, we got equal opportunity for heaven. We got even hell, heaven or hell. He's an equal opportunity God. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. And that will depend upon your faith in Jesus Christ. Or your refusal to accept him as Lord of your life. You see, this woman did not hesitate to tell her story. And that's what we've been dealing with in our one-on-one evangelism. You've got to tell your story. Help me, somebody. I can't tell it like you can tell it, but we all ought to be telling our story, what the Lord has done for us. You see, we've got some husbands that need to be saved, and we've got some children that need to be saved. We've got some family members that need Jesus. We've got some friends that don't know him in the part of their sin. We've got some co-workers that need Jesus. We ought to tell our story. And this woman dropped her water pot. And she ran with her testimony. Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. He exposed my sins. He knew some things about me that nobody else knew. You see, it's good to know the reality that we all have sinned. And God knows our shortcomings. God knows our hearts. There's nothing we can hide from the scope of God. And the best thing we need to do, like old grandma say, is to fess up. That we have messed up. He knew everything.
Everything.
By his power, he knew what was on her heart. But you know what? I see this woman now as free. Oh, I wish I had a witness. You know, when you've been saved, and when your sins have been forgiven,
hallelujah,
he takes away that guilt.
He
takes away that shame.
Yeah.
You don't have to walk around with your head bowed down. I wish I had a witness.
Yeah.
But she ran back to town.
Yeah.
And she told the city, come see a man.
Yeah.
And the Bible said in verse 30 that they went out of the city. They came to him. You see, they heard what she said, but they wanted to investigate it for themselves. See, you get it secondhand, but you need to know it for yourself firsthand. I wish I had a witness.
I come to tell you, yeah, that Brianna can't live off of my faith in Sandra's. But she's got to know the Lord for herself. Have I got a witness? And so we have seen here this woman's response. That the first thing we need to do when we know Jesus is to go share him with somebody else. And I come to tell you, Mount Triumph, it's not for us or the results of what happened. Because I know sometimes people say, well, I'm not going out there because they won't hear me anyhow. But that is, the result is not up to you. God has given you a command to go into all of the world. That's not just for the pastor. That's just not for the deacon. But it's for the choir member. It's for the usher. It's for those of us in the pews. We all are to make disciples. We all have to have a story to tell about the goodness of the Lord, the Savior of the world. Well, let me look at verse 39.
Go ahead.
Not only do we see the reaction, and not only do we see the response, but then look at verse 39 and let us see the reception of the Samaritan. Because the text opens that many of the Samaritans of that city believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. Notice first that it is a fruitful reception. It is fruitful because the Bible says that many of the Samaritans believe. You know, in chapter 1, it says that he came unto his own. And his own received him not. But didn't stop right there, did he? As many as received him, gave he the right to become the children of God. And then they believed in him. Can I tell you, there is no other name whereby men might be saved but at the name of Jesus. I wish I had a witness. Notice they believed in him. They didn't believe in them. They believed in him. You see, Jesus is the only sure way to salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. And so here they believed in him. Yeah, because of the word of the woman. Her testimony was so overcoming that they put their faith in him. And that he told me everything that I ever did. Is this not the Christ? This has to be the one. And so many believed in him. But then when I looked again, it said that the Samaritans came to Jesus for themselves. They had received him fruitfully. And they had received him faithfully. And they had received him favorably. They wanted Jesus to come to the city. And brothers and sisters, I kept on looking. And I saw something in the text. I saw a 2-day revival. Have I got a witness? I know we have some revivals here. But Jesus was going to the Samaritan city and struck up a 2-day revival. Jesus was going to the outcast. Jesus was going to the half-breeds. Jesus was going to the no class and to the low class, to the ostracized, to the poor. Jesus
Jesus tells them that we have to go in the hedges and the highways and the byways and compel men to come to me. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter. Jesus is all that matters. And he had a two-day revival. What did he speak about? I know what he spoke about. He spoke about the things pertaining to the kingdom. I wish I had a witness. He let them know that I am the Messiah. I am the one who is coming. Good God Almighty. I didn't come to set up my earthly throne, but I came to die on a cross. Good God Almighty. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. What did he talk about? He talked about that he loves you. God's been looking for you. God's been seeking you. And when you go out, you got to tell people that Jesus is the way. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all will come into repentance. When you go out and testify, you can tell men that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Well, I believe I'm going to my seat. But I got one more point.
Go ahead.
Good God Almighty.
Yeah.
They had a two-day revival.
Yeah.
All brothers and sisters, can't you see it now?
Yeah.
When a city comes to Jesus,
yeah.
You see, brothers and sisters, we look out in our cities,
yeah.
And we see all kind of tragedies.
Yeah.
We see people living all kind of ways.
Yeah.
But we need Jesus to come into their lives. And when he does, their lives will be changed. The city will be changed. Homes will be transformed. Our nation will be changed. And it's until Jesus come to the city. I wish I had a witness. You see, I know that a citywide revival can happen. Anybody here remember it happening in the Old Testament? Come here, Jonah, that reluctant prophet. Jonah got a call from God. I need you to go down to Nineveh. And I need you to warn them for me. And Jonah refused to go. Somebody here remember that story. Jonah caught a ship going to Tarshish. The Bible says he paid the fare.
KKKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I've
God says in his word, Romans 13:7, that we as Christians must give honor to whom honor is due. In January 2014, we, the ministry staff and co-laborers in the gospel, will honor our man of God, Dr. John Montgomery.
You recognize that if you're going to deal, dwell, or be anywhere God is, you're going to be required to change your life.
In recognition of his 25th year of pastoral service, ministry, and leadership, leadership at our church, community, his city, state, and nation. Dr. Montgomery's silver anniversary will be celebrated the entire month of January. This month-long celebration will culminate on Monday, January 24th from 7 to 10.